All right, good day. Welcome to The Gray Matters, where we discuss more than just the hot topics and headlines of the day from a black man's perspective. We appreciate that we are not a monolith, and every subject deserves to be explored with nuance, giving a view from all sides of the culture. So as always, we're here to hopefully bring that to you each time with a little bit of class, some fun, a little bit of spice. Our panel consists of three guys that you by now already know are nothing alike, and yet you'll soon come to find out, if you already don't, that we love each other in spite of our sometimes very big differences. I'm Billy Craig, joining you from the great state of Delaware as always, and today I am joined by my partner's Roadblock out in Nashville and my other partner Destro out in Metro Portland. How you doing today, gentlemen?
What's happening?
What's going on?
Chilling. You like that?
I did. That was nice. Yeah. I like that.
Yeah, you didn't see that one coming. he was going to see Andre. He get every introduction. He get ready to be mad. And he was like, you know what?
I can do it though.
Yeah, he's still mad. Yeah, I know you're still mad about Patrick, but I figure I'll throw you a bone on that one.
I appreciate it.
And the D.L. Hughley. Yeah, let's not forget the D.L. Hughley.
Oh, man.
Well, let's go ahead and kick it off. All right. Yep. So today's topic, appropriately called Get Up, Get Out, and Get Something, we focused on the get out portion. So and not the Jordan Peele version of the get out, but I guess it might be similar. I guess we'll take down this road and see how it explores. So specifically, for those of you who are new to the show, I was born in Louisville, Kentucky, but raised in Cincinnati, Ohio. Billy is also from Cincinnati, Ohio, and Paul is also from Cincinnati, Ohio. Mm-hmm. And not only are we all raised in Cincinnati, Ohio, but we are raised from the same neighborhood, Forest mm-hmm. Park, mm-hmm. Which is we call it a small suburb of the greater part of Cincinnati, I guess.
It's actually, believe it or not, fun fact. Forest Park is actually the largest city not named Cincinnati in the Cincinnati area.
You mean in Hamilton County?
Yeah, it's actually the second largest other than greater Cincinnati.
Yeah. Well, for the people who are outside of the Ohio that watch us, you know how you say, like, where are you from? And then you try to narrow it down and they be like, right. What's that next to? What's that next to? We from Cincinnati, but Forest Park is the specific location.
Right.
And so through the introduction, you know, Billy said he's in Delaware, I'm in Nashville, Tennessee, and Paul's in Portland. So mm-hmm. obviously we got the get out part. Mm-hmm. And so I want to walk down what that looks like and maybe just address the whys and the whos and all of that to what are the benefits, or is it more beneficial to stay at home, or why do people not venture outside of their area code? And zip codes and stuff like that. So I'm gonna start off with Paul because he has definitely been a world traveler. You have covered from the bottom of Florida all the way to the top of the United States. So so we'll start off with the macro and work on and work into the micro. So what are some of the benefits that you have seen from just being in different places?
Well, the benefit, I would say, from living in different places and not just traveling. See, there's a difference between people who travel having to go live somewhere else and be there every day.
Right.
So let's get that out of the way. Like if you in a hotel and you're at the, you know, the awesome spots in town where people are in their best behavior, right? And then you leave after about 3 or 4 days, you don't know that town.
Right.
Yeah, because I know plenty of people who've been to Chicago, but you ain't been to Chicago.
Right. That's my point. So, like, for instance, when I moved to South Florida, I was hanging out on South Beach like every night and then hitting a pot of coffee at the office like I was a tourist. And it took me about a month or two. And I'm like, bro, you live here. You gotta chill. But one of the things that I would value is I have confidence that no matter where you drop me, I'm going to be okay. And that's literally why I left home. I wasn't really happy with what I felt was going to be my existence or my ceiling in Cincinnati. So I felt I had to go somewhere else where, of course, the ground is way deeper, right? Like, but there's a higher ceiling. So there's risk involved. I know what I'm capable of. Also, you learn that people are people for the most part. You learn how to deal with people. And that's really been the whether it's been South Florida, whether it's been Quincy, Illinois, when I was in college, or coming back to Mount St. Joe, or even Salt Lake City, or even out here in Portland, people are people. And they just want a little respect and a little space. You know what I mean? What I also learned is that not a lot of people like to compete. When you move around, you learn that a lot of people think that life is going to be a certain way for them. And a lot of times life is going to be a certain way for them because of what their dad or granddad or grandma or whatever did for them. And as long as they follow the footsteps and do exactly what they're supposed to do, life's going to be pretty cool for them. Usually their last names are on buildings of schools that we went to, right? So that's what I mean. I didn't have those advantages necessarily where, and this ain't even a shot at Dre, where I had a big brother who was an All-American, where I could go and I could see that literally me, because you mean when your brother is you at the end of the day, you see me succeed on the big stage. You know what I'm saying? And right. And know that it was going to be okay once I got there. All I had to do was do my part. I didn't have those types of things. And I could think of names at St. X where you think of like a McClatchy or the Bells, or like there's certain names that are in those halls that when their kids come through or their grandkids or their nephews right. come through, they're going to go to the front of the line and get a chance to fail. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Not a right. chance to succeed, a chance to fail. And not everybody gets that chance to fail. And I had to leave town, I believe, for myself to get a chance to fail. Because it was more about, I had to leave necessarily the caste system. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Right, that makes perfect sense. Absolutely.
And so, Billy, you've been, not to say Paul was flying by the seat of his pants, but yours has been more strategic in the moving there. So what say you? Why, not necessarily why did you leave Cincinnati, but like what benefits do you see? Now, we'll get to that, but what benefits do you see of living in different places other than Cincinnati, Ohio?
The benefit, well, there's kind of two things. The first thing that comes to mind, I had to put my microphone closer for this one because this is a touchy subject, you know. But in all seriousness, the first thing that comes to mind is that Cincinnati is one of those places that's, I mean, I'm sure other places like this as well, but it's one of those places where no matter what you do, no matter what you say, no matter how you live, no matter how you grow up, that narrative is going to be written for you, right? Mm-hmm. That narrative is written for you. And sometimes it's due to nefarious evil intent and things like that. But in many ways, it's just because people just aren't very creative a lot of times. And so the name Billy Craig in Forest Park, in Cincinnati, in many parts, means something. And it's not even that I didn't want it to mean what it meant, but it was more like no matter what you do, people won't allow you to change. Mm-hmm. They won't allow they, and I shouldn't even say
or
change,
to grow.
It's not change. Grow. That's what I was getting ready to say.
Yeah.
It's more like a you know, you grow up, you have kids. I even think about like switching schools and going to St. X, going to Roger Bacon. Mm-hmm. Like I mean, those experiences were things I wouldn't trade for the world, good or bad. But the biggest thing about it is people forget I didn't make those choices for me. Mm-hmm. I got treated as though I made those choices. Right. I got penalized or criticized as though I left Forest Park to do those things.
Sell out. Why are you going to that white school?
Yeah. And the fact of the matter is I'm going because I'm 14. I'm 15 years old. My mama,
I am
my daddy
not in charge of my existence.
No, not at all.
I have a parent. And, so.
Right. And so what happened for me was, unlike a lot of people who they fight and they claw and they scratch at building their identity, mm-hmm. one of the things that I got a lot of was my father. He worked for close to 33 years at IBM, right? So he would always have to do training several times a year, which means he had to go to Atlanta, which meant that he would go different places for his work seminars to do his updates to his training as a service technician. And then, like at church, a lot of times we would have different conferences and things like that. So one of the things that I did when I was very young was I traveled a lot. Not all the time, not like every summer or whatever, but it would be like to go to Chicago, to go to New York, to go to Boston, to go to Atlanta, to go to Nashville, to go to St. Louis. These were not, they were special, but they weren't weird or odd. They weren't intimidating for me. Mm-hmm. And so once I realized this is not what I want, I could pick up and go where I wanted to go. And I wasn't scared. A lot of people are afraid. They hate their existence. They're uncomfortable there. But it's like what they say, you're not uncomfortable enough to do anything about it. So when I went off to Ohio State, I was uncomfortable enough to do something about it. I was actually enrolled in UC, had everything paid for. And my guidance counselor completely offended me. Little known fact, I showed up. It was about 3 weeks before classes were to start in that particular year, 94. UC started, I think it was about a week ahead of Ohio State, even though they're on the same system. I get there a couple weeks before class, so 3 weeks before Ohio State would have started. I show up to see my guidance counselor, and this is classic Cincinnati, right? I get in there, and I look at my transcript, and I say, something is wrong. And she said, what's wrong? And I said, this has me down for remedial English. I've never gotten anything less than an A in English. I scored a 15-10 on my SATs. I was a National Merit Scholar. Why am I in remedial English? And, if anybody mm-hmm. knows University of Cincinnati, they had, what do they call it? What was that college called?
Raymond Walters.
No, not Raymond Walters. Oh. It was called something college. Anyway, the point was.
Oh, CTC.
No. It wasn't
for
a different
Cincinnati
school.
State.
No, it wasn't a different school. It was, I forget what it was called. Basically, it was
shout
like.
Out to all those schools Paul named.
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah.
No, but they all affiliated with UC. That
yeah,
meant you
they
didn't
are
really
now.
Go to UC.
But
remember?
That's not it. This
oh, you don't
what
go
it
to
is.
UC, you go to Raymond Walters.
No, but what happened was, whatever it was
yeah,
called.
Yeah, he's laughing from a healthy place because he know what I'm
yeah,
talking about.
Yeah, but whatever it was basically it was remedial English. It was a zero class. It wasn't even a 100 class. And I said, how can this be? Like, they said, well, we just feel like you need to brush up on your English and your vocabulary. And I'm like, and I'm looking at her like, you're talking to me right now. Like, are you serious? This is clearly a mistake. She said, well, I know a lot of people, they kind of resist that or whatever. You'll be able to get back into regular English in the next semester. I said, next semester? We're on quarters. That's 2 quarters? She was like, right. Yeah. And I said, I tell you what, have a nice day. And I literally threw that thing in the trash. I got my old 74 Plymouth Duster, and the next day I drove up to Columbus and enrolled on the spot at Ohio State University. And I explained to them my situation because, frankly, that felt like it was one of those maybe people feel like you kind of big time and you're arrogant, but that was the culture in Cincinnati. I dealt with that so much in my life that I was like, kick rocks. I'd rather pay to live on campus and spend an extra, couple thousand dollars a quarter than to deal with this. Mm-hmm. And so that's how I ended up leaving Cincinnati the first time. Similar situation. I won't go into all of it in the interest of time, but when I moved to Nashville, when I eventually went to go finish college, when I went to Tennessee State and I moved to Nashville, it was a very similar situation. It was like, I came back to Cincinnati, and I was just like, I'm not staying here. I'm not living here anymore. And so I get down there. I came back for a little while after that, moved to Atlanta, came back a little bit after that, and then I moved here to Delaware. But even when I came back, even after I came back the first time when I came back from Ohio State, it was always with the understanding that, you know, I'm going to come back here and catch my breath. I'm going to come back here and, you know, see the fam for a few minutes or whatever. But I love Cincinnati, but I was like, this is not my home because you won't even let me outgrow me. I'm far too big for what it is that you're just like, why don't you just do this? What? Because that's not, it's not even what I want to do. That's not even what I'm meant to do. Mm. And so my thought was, I am big enough, bad enough, strong enough, whatever, to chart my own course, and I don't need permission to do that.
Okay.
Fair point. So for me, I think it, well, one, so we'll, I don't know if I've ever discussed it or not, but I mean, it is what it is. So I was the traditional athlete, like the dumb jock athlete at Moeller, like not because a lack of intelligence. I just, it just, that wasn't my priority.
You just felt Man. Good, huh?
Yeah. I was feeling myself. So I definitely went to class doing bare minimum there. So all that to say, graduated Moeller, lost all scholarship opportunities. So I ended up in junior college. So I went to College DuPage in Chicago. It's a suburb of Chicago, Glen Ellyn, Illinois. Yeah. And that's when I realized, like, all right, I'm in a different world now. Like, I'm outside of Cincinnati and it's different out here. So my roommate, one of them was from the west side of Chicago, another one from the south side of Chicago. And the other one, no, two were from the west side and one from the south side. And I got to see what that looks like firsthand. Because in JUCO, you don't have dorms. You got apartments. Mm-hmm. And they just slap four people together and good luck. And, boy, good luck it was. So I went from there, just like Billy. After there, went home for like 3 months and then enrolled in Louisville to play football. Left Louisville, moved back to Cincinnati, left there, went to Radford, Virginia. Did that for, got another degree from Radford, moved back home, then for like a month and then moved to Nashville. Failed out the first time in Nashville, moved back home and realized, yeah, dog, I'd rather fail than stay here and move back out again. Mm-hmm. All that to say, like the different places that I've lived, the one thing it's taught me though is people, like the actual skills of being able to start by yourself, not knowing anybody around you and having to fight for it. That is a different thing. Like a lot of people, deal with the comfortability of, oh, I'm from Cincinnati, I'm from Forest Park, I ain't never left, I don't need to leave. It's because you're comfortable. Now, no matter what you do for a living, some people have done that and succeeded and make great money and work at GE and all these different places, and that's cool.
P&G. Some people that you got it good. Yeah,
but some people we know who haven't left the same thing that they've been doing since we left in the early 2000s. And right. Still struggling, but they'd rather struggle comfortable than to succeed uncomfortable.
I could go down Kemper Road right now to the exact same spot I saw somebody back in 2001, and I could almost promise you they're still going to be there.
They within that vicinity.
They're somewhere around. They'll be here in a little bit.
when my wife and I first got together, we lived in Covington for a year before we moved to Salt Lake. And that was one of the most disappointing parts of it was, one, folks don't come check on you when you like, hey, I'm in town. What's happening? Folks ain't coming outside like they say they would if you was around. Right. That's number one. And number two is people were where I left them 15 years ago.
I mean, exact place.
Exactly where I left them. Yeah. And it's like, wow. Like.
They haven't even changed clothes.
Bruh,
You laughing? I'm dead serious. Like,
no, I'm laughing because you are dead.
Who have actually, right. They have actually, they haven't changed clothes. They drive mm-hmm. in the same car. Like, why is it? How's the thing even still running? And to your point, Paul, one of the things, and you kind of touched on it, but I'll even take it a little bit further. And I don't say this from a place of like bitterness or anger or anything like that. This used to hurt me when I was younger, but I've grown so much since then. But there's a lot of people that, frankly, they don't show up when I come to town and say, hey, I'm in town, I'm gonna come through. And the reason why is because, A, they didn't miss me in the first place. Like, it just is what it is. And secondly, going back to that thing when we all went off to our different high schools and things like that, they resent the fact that I had the courage to go out there and fail again. Because I literally left and failed multiple times. You resent the fact, again, I don't take anything from this, but I know what I'm looking at. There are people that resent the fact that I'm out here sink or swim. And so it's almost like, oh, okay, you think you're better than me? And it's like, nah, but since you bring it up, why are you still in the same spot? Because what you said, Paul, I'm sorry, what you said, Andre, about being comfortable, mm-hmm. I'll take it even a step further. Even if you're not comfortable, you're not uncomfortable enough to do something about it. Okay, and a lot of people looked at me. A lot of people, no, a lot of people looked at me. Yeah,
are you scared?
What I'm saying is, but that's my point. There's a lot of people that were actually, again, that discomfort, they would look at me and be like, but you could do this, and you could have this, and you could have that if you stayed here. And I'm like, sure I could. But deep down inside, I would still be uncomfortable because I know I would be leaving an awful lot on the table. And I'm not willing to live with myself knowing that I left stuff on the table. And so I will go out, like you said it perfectly, Paul. I'm willing to go out here and fail. I'm sorry, Andre. Go out here and fail. Go out here and fall. I'd rather fail and come back than just sit here in relative mediocrity.
I'd rather fail than not know.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Because I'm not afraid of failing. I'm not afraid of failing.
Well, because Billy, you were touching on where people, you know, that we grew up with talk and you'd be like, you know, do you think you better than me? And it's like,
right.
I never approach anything in life that I'm better than somebody.
Unless I'm competing directly against you.
Well, I let the results speak for themselves. I've never like,
correct.
I never even said that. Like, we just went out. If when the gun go off, sports is funny that way. When the clock starts, at the end, there's a score.
Tape is the tape.
Right. The tape is the tape.
So I've never been like, I do, you know, minimal trash talking, but that's just for fun. Like, it was never serious to me. But the thing is, I'm not better than you, but I'm better than this. And that's how I always felt Cincinnati was. Is like, if y'all stay, cool. I can't stay. Like, I have nothing to, like, nothing but love for y'all. Now, Billy does touch on a point where, and both of y'all touched on it, where people don't really come check on you like they said they would. No. Like, and, you know, but that's one of those things, like, being a dream chaser or what, you know, for whatever better term you can come up with, it's a lonely experience. Like, this joint, when you get a vision and you're the only person to get the vision, you go out and execute it. There's a lot of times where you're sitting here by yourself and the only person who believes in you is you. Mm-hmm. And that's
everybody else. Thank you, crazy.
Man, and that's where that uncomfortable portion comes. It's like when I'm sleeping in my car, like off of, like going on a road trip to try to make some music with somebody, end up sleeping in the car and stuff like that, and in the middle of nowhere. Mm-hmm. And it logically doesn't make sense, but it made sense to me. Like, it was like, this is the journey that I got to go to. This is the path that I got to take. And even when I moved back to Cincinnati and tried to do music, the one thing, and this is where we'll get into the micro, about Cincinnati, Ohio, nothing, I don't hate the place. Like, this is going to come off as like, we hate Cincinnati. Like, that's our home. Nothing about it is like breeds a thing of hate, but Cincinnati is the one of the most limiting places that I've ever attempted to call home.
Like, that's not a small town.
That's not a small town. Like, the people who want to stay, like, they pull you and don't cheer you when you leave. Like, it is, they do not like you to go out and succeed. Now, they'll be fine if you succeed in the confines of Cincinnati, Ohio, and they'll cheer you there. And but
if your success makes them comfortable to be in your presence.
Right. But if me being successful in Nashville, like, it is, the Bengals play the Titans all the time, and people come in, oh, I'm gonna holler at you when I get in town. Phone dry. I'm cool.
Right.
And for that, I'm all right with it because, I mean, I got a family. I got other things to do anyway. So as we find when even taping our episodes, if you don't fill in this gap, there's something else to go into this time slot. Like, it ain't really a big deal to me. But, like, the crabs in the barrel mentality is – like, outside of the fact that we need to figure out how the crabs got in the barrel in the first place, like in Cincinnati, they really try to pull you into this.
They get mad at crabs for being in the ocean. That's how Cincinnati cats think. Like, what that crab think he's supposed to be in this barrel with us.
He's supposed to get over here in this barrel. Right. Like, he ain't real. He ain't no real crab.
Right. I guess taking this turn into the micro, I'm not sure if this is exactly where you want to go with it, but maybe the word isn't micro in my case. I'll say it's personal because one of the things for me about Cincinnati, this is one of the two biggest reasons why Cincinnati can no longer ever be considered home for me. Anybody who knows me knows I am diehard Bengals, Reds, Bearcats. Mm-hmm. I don't care if it's Lakota East,
Muskies,
Moeller, Muskies, Taft, Hughes, Roger Bacon. You know what I'm saying? I'm rooting for anything and everything Cincinnati. Somebody come out of Cincinnati in politics, somebody come out of Cincinnati and does something in ballet or whatever. You have all of my support. I've never felt that reciprocity. What I'll say is this, I actually had a business when I came back from Nashville. I moved and I do IT. And it's amazing how many people are like, man, like, you know, why you leave? And I'm like, cause I started a business here and y'all don't support me. And I don't mean handouts. I'm saying I do excellent work. Like, I do really good work and I ride and I do whatever I can to make sure I take care of my people. And I can literally tell you the names of the people who supported me because it was
there were so few.
Literally, I can tell you that. But part two of this, and I'll just be candid, from the time I was old enough to drive to the time I finally left Cincinnati. With the exception of five times, I have been encountered by police, taken to the Justice Center, car impounded, held at gunpoint. I'm going to say dozens of times. I can't even count how many times. It got to the point where I was a pizza delivery driver in the Tri-County area for a while at Donato's, back when Donato's first opened. I started there when I was in high school, right? And I've probably dropped off some pizzas to some of the people listening here. That's how serious it was. But what's crazy is I used to get profiled by police, and it's wild because now whenever I go home for holidays, go visit family, you know, graduation, funeral, whatever. Anytime I get to Cincinnati, like I just came through a few months back and I drove the entire way. Driving helps me to clear my head. So I drove all the way from Delaware to Cincinnati. I didn't see any flashing lights, didn't see a single police officer the whole time I drove until I got to Kings Island. And when I'm coming from the South, let's say I drive and I go to Louisville, my in-laws are in Louisville, so we drive to Louisville first. We go through West Virginia. I don't have any problems. I don't get pulled over, never get stopped. And I don't see a single police officer until I get right up there by Buttermilk Pike. I got off the interstate. I thought, oh, this is cool. I haven't seen anybody. I got off on the Paddock Road exit. I saw, what was it? Four different police officers between the Paddock Road exit at my dad's house in Fairfield. And I say that only to say that I don't have an adversary relationship with police officers. I'm not a criminal at all. Matter of fact, some of my best friends, guys who I've known for years, and I mean truly great people, great friends, are police officers. But Cincinnati was a very special place for me. And frankly, it stripped me, in my opinion, of my dignity. It's the one thing that I was not able to combat, no matter how smart I am, no matter how much education, no matter how many letters behind my name, no matter how much success financially, no matter how straight-laced I am, no matter how great my children turn out, no matter how faithful I am to my wife. In Cincinnati, Ohio, I am subject to law enforcement at any given time. They don't care about nothing I did at Roger Bacon. They don't care nothing about Winton Woods. They don't care nothing about, oh, he grew up in Forest Park. They don't care about no records, no nothing. You are subject to law enforcement. And I was like, that is an indignity I will not stand for, even if it means I'm not going to be home. I miss Cincinnati. I just don't miss it enough to get pulled over every other week.
I miss La Rosa's.
I even miss Nasty Frisch's sometimes.
I just get some tartar. I just make some tartar sauce.
Little skyline. But I'm saying skyline. Cincinnati, now let me tell you something, man. I have diabetes. I have type 2 diabetes. And I know that Cincinnati got me on track for such things. Because there is entirely too many. You don't know until you leave just how good we had it when it came to eating. Like, you got your choices.
You know what's crazy? I miss White Castles.
White Castles.
I mean, and I'm not talking about throwing them in the oven, a microwave, frozen ones. I'm talking about fresh off the griddle with the one pickle.
Yep.
At 3 a.m.
Yeah. Yeah.
We got one here in Nashville, but it's
closest good one is Vegas out here. We only got one, and it's in Vegas.
There's one in New Jersey, and I wanted to go shoot somebody.
And everybody who say Crystals. Stop.
Stop. We got plenty of crystals.
If anybody tell you Crystals and White Castles is the same thing, slap them.
Yeah. No, there's one in New Jersey, and it's when you're coming back from New York, heading down the New Jersey Turnpike. There's one right about 50 miles outside of New York, and it's like the last White Castles to no man's land. And I'll never forget, I stopped there, and I'm sitting there like ready to dig in. And they just put ketchup on their White Castle. I'm like, that's not a White Castle.
Who does that? Mean,
yeah, who puts it? Why? I actually turned around. Like, I got off the turnpike, turned around.
That's Crystals.
Back. I said, what are you doing? They was like, well, unless you ask, we just put ketchup on it. I'm like, shame.
No, that's Crystals. Don't do that. Don't go on a White Castle, but onions, pickles, and cheese.
Unless you ask otherwise, that has to come.
But even then, give me my packets. Let me control this. Let me make my own mess over here.
I want the spicy mustard.
But one of the things that, you know, that strikes me, like, not when we were trying to leave Cincinnati, like, my brother, as big of a star as he was even starting to get caught up in the Cincinnati not wanting to leave. Like, the reason my brother has the life that he has now is because I looked at him dead in his face and was like, we're moving to Virginia. We got to get out of here. Mm-hmm. And so he credit to him for being like, all right, let's do it.
Listening to Lil Bro, like, yo, all right.
That take a lot.
Because that took a lot to do.
Because he recognized the same thing that I did, like, yo, as much of I struggle to say it because I'm not that type of person, but like, as big of stars as we were in that city, and especially him, we weren't living up to full potential. And being in Cincinnati was the reason that was, like, hands down, like, it just was.
It's the number one cause. Yeah,
I knew I wanted to do music, and music in Cincinnati is so self-centered that it wasn't possible like that. Like, and Paul Rowland's eyes, because he know, like, I have never.
That's literally why I left, to be honest. I'm full disclosure. I left Cincinnati because I wanted to get into music, and I'm in music. And that's the only way I was going to get into it is by leaving. That's why I went down to Miami.
I have never had more broken appointments of people saying, oh yeah, we need to get together. We're going to get the music together. I'm going to come through. We're going to record. never had more of that happen than in Cincinnati, Ohio. Like in Nashville, when these people say, "Oh, we'll come together," like they'll show up with a full band in my yard if I sit here. Like they
live
they
in a music it. Business city, though.
You live in Music City, literally. Yes.
And so they it's just a different, like it's an actual business. Like these people are about business. And in Cincinnati, like that music industry like that, they are they it'd be nice. Like they that's kind of they hope they're about. And we've had talented people from Cincinnati make it out, and but the fact is they couldn't do it from within. They had to go in order to get it done. But all that to say, like, even when we're, you know, going back to Cincinnati and looking at things and how much times has changed, Billy, you mentioned it, like the me and the police in Silverton, because that's down the street from Muller High School, like that was a regular occurrence. And the only reason that I never got in trouble is because of my brother. Like, oh, you Carlos Collins' little brother. Yeah. Man, just go beat X. And like, go, like, just. That
was it. See?
But no, that's real, though. That's real.
I mean, that was kind of the conversations that we had.
Lock him up. Lock him up.
And so that's
we really... gotta beat Mo, lock his ass up,
right? But that's where it was, and it was like, sorry. I once that feeling of that nostalgia wore off, like it was time to go. Like, like I was big enough. Like, still to this day, when Moeller or the city has somebody who's super fast that comes through, or a corner that's legit and stuff, like people call me and be like, "Hey, there's this kid at Moeller. He run like a 10-4 and 100. You should check him out." Like, I got it. Like, I'm a scout. Like, I got anything to do with it.
Right.
But all, like, fast and me and Moeller are all associated. So anybody who's fast, that somebody got to call me. And it's cool that that's the legacy that I have, but I couldn't sit in that. Like, that's not the desire that I have. Like, no, I just...
You couldn't just work at Walmart or at Kroger's, right? And just be the regular janitor and be like, "Yo, Dre, check out this fast cat." Like, they wasn't about to, you wasn't about to live like that.
No.
You know what's interesting about what you say? Because it's almost like this conversation, because we're all from the Cincinnati area, it becomes very Cincinnati-centric almost.
Right.
But the fact is, and I think to broaden it back out, I was getting ready to say to broaden it back out, most people can't outgrow their childhood or their reputation unless they're brave enough to leave. I don't care if you talk about Colin Powell, everything from literally the extreme of, you know, Oprah Winfrey or, you know, whoever, literally name the person that you consider to be successful, somebody who is an example of wildly exceeding expectations. It almost always involves them leaving and being willing to go out there, get kicked in the dirt, you know, get left behind, take some L's. It's not a Cincinnati conversation as much as it is. You have to be willing to accept the fact that your origin story doesn't have to be, you know, your ending story. Like, there's going to be, if you really want to get past, you have to push past those barriers, and sometimes those barriers is just geographic. Like, be willing to take an opportunity somewhere else, because too often people are afraid, like, well, if I leave, then what about my homeboys? Or what about my family? Or what? I mean, they make flights for that.
Right.
Like, they have gasoline powered engines in vehicles that you can drive and you can go home. Like, it's you don't have to stay
trains and planes and automobiles, right?
The internet, Facebook, Messenger, and all types of things. So you can stay connected, but you don't have to stay. And sometimes we're, you know, humans, I'm saying, not us, but like sometimes people don't realize, like, you're compromising your own potential. Whoever said that, like, compromise your own potential at the basically you're doing it at the expense of your own. Like, what ifs? It's like, and I think, like, the idea of I don't want to live with knowing I didn't try. I didn't go out there and do it.
Well, to speak to Andre's point, I kind of wanted to speak to that because I know a couple of guys who were on your level as far as status-wise in sports that are still in Cincinnati and they never left.
Nothing.
And you can tell that they're bitter.
Yeah. Mm.
Yep. Like, because what happens is when you're that guy like that and you don't make it, we go from celebrating you to laughing at you.
Right, yeah. Right.
Quickly.
As soon as we can start laughing at you, we start laughing at you. And there's a couple of guys who are also legends around town in sports that I know for a fact are miserable because they didn't chase or they stayed there and they rode out that wave a little too long. You know what I'm saying? Because they were really trying to ride that wave.
Right.
Like there's some people who like yourself and Los, for instance, y'all was just good at sports. Y'all good people. Y'all wasn't like being good at sports so you could have the advantages. That stuff came with it, but it's not who you are, if that makes sense.
It doesn't define
at all. It doesn't define who you are, because I know both of y'all personally, right? So there are some people who hoop or play ball for all of that extra stuff. And when that's, you see what I'm trying to say?
Right, when that
stuff don't, and you ain't that guy no more, you know what I'm saying? And you really just sticking around for that extra stuff. That J ain't falling. And you ain't hitting that on the laser no more. And you can't, you know what I'm saying? You know, and that's kind of how I felt. I wasn't even on y'all level, but I was like, man, I'm not about to like be stuck around here being regular. I ain't never been regular. Now that may sound condescending or elitist, but I went to St. X, so that you take that how you want to take it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean, it is what it is.
I was in the newspaper from the time I was 11.
Yeah,
so I've literally never been regular. Like I didn't have the opportunity. and so for that. You know, and like you said, and I totally agree with you that this happens from city to city. Like the thing, it was cool, or I don't know if it's cool, or it's just a perspective that we have. Each city that we've moved to, we've witnessed those people who didn't leave. Mm-hmm. And you get to see firsthand, like, that would have been my life. Because I'm still, you know, even though I left Cincinnati, I'm looking at another person who was a legend, and they still here. And
They're reffing youth sports,
or even worse,
two or three baby mamas,
right? Yeah. And like when I moved to Roanoke, Virginia, I'll never forget. That was easily the most depressing place I've ever lived in my life because nobody wanted to leave. JJ Redick is really the only person I know that got out of Roanoke, Virginia. I was there at the same time. JJ
actually, there's the whole state of Virginia, believe it or not. There are very few places.
No, you got.
Well, I said there are very few northern places.
You got the Fairfax, and you got Richmond.
That's not like, that's Virginia, not Virginia.
Completely different.
Yeah, that's not Virginia.
Okay, see that's South the Virginia. Yeah. I know.
Yeah.
Carlos is talking like Eastern Shore, Newport.
Right. That, y'all talking about the Virginia that touches Tennessee and Kentucky
and North Carolina.
That portion. Yeah. So when you down there, like, and this ain't even just like a black conversation, like. White people, like when I went and I coached at the high school, we talking like generations of people who went to that high school. They still, and if I check back on them, they probably still there. And we talking about a town of maybe 15,000 people, maybe.
Yeah.
And of those 15,000, they can, one person die, another person have a baby, and they keep the family name going. Like that's all it is. But looking at the different perspectives of where we are, and I appreciate Billy for going out to the macro, because we, even though we wanted to start off in micro, we started off like Cincinnati, like so.
Yeah. Only speak to what. Yeah.
But one of the things that I've learned by just going out and giving it a shot, like just to see what's out there, is you really meet some real cool people.
Mm-hmm.
Like some really cool people that are trying to do things because they also are transplants too. They move like, and so most of my friends here in Nashville that I work with or do music with or any, you know, business ventures with, Most of them ain't from here either. And so we have a like-mindedness that of there's something to be, you know, to be said for starting over and being out and hooking up with other people who are trying to do that same thing because your grind is different. Like now I got a complete family to support, like a whole family. When I first moved here, it was just me. So if I failed, cool. Yeah. Like, I mean, it is what it is. Right. But I can't take those chances on failing. And because now if I fail, somebody don't eat. And that ain't
right.
That ain't
the last I could be hungry, there. Not my baby though.
Right. So, but what are some of the lessons that, like I said, I've met some cool people. What are some of the things that you've gotten out of living in Utah and Portland and Delaware and Atlanta and all that? Like, what are y'all experiences there?
Same thing, bro. Like, even though Utah was Utah, but I got a homeboy to this day, Big Percy. That's my dog. Like, one of my dogs. Like, I fight you about Percy. That's my homeboy. You know what I'm saying? You know, and we met through trying to get our kids together with football. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Again, you meet people who have common goals, and one of the things that got that bonded me and Percy was I had a perspective, and it was just one of those things where, you know, you ever somebody y'all come to the conclusion, or somebody let you know you ain't crazy. They see exactly what you see. Mm-hmm. That's me. And something was going on at one of these little camps, and I was like, "What the?" And he came like, "Nah, chill. This is what's going." He calmed me down. You know what I'm saying? Let me know what was really going on. So, I got a homeboy down in I got a bunch of homeboys down in South Florida. You know, there's or Doughboy or Cordy. A lot of South Florida was one of my favorite places. It's still to this day, one of my favorite places. Different eclectic group, you know what I mean? Of all across the spectrum type of friendships, especially in South Florida. There's only two types of people in Salt Lake. You're either Mormon or you're not. Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day.
Right.
But in South Florida, and same with South Florida and Portland are kind of the same thing. Only difference is the sun shines more in South Florida. But I love Portland and South Florida as far as like the different types of people I've met and friendships. But again, I've had more money here than I've had in the other places. So I have access to a different level of individual.
But there's something for diversity, though. Like, Cincinnati is not a very diverse place when it comes to, I mean, it's...
Well, you know what I say? You know how I call, you know how I define it, Andre, is? And I tell people, especially living in Nashville, but especially my time in Atlanta.
Okay.
Cincinnati is not an international place. You can find a little bit of diversity, but you won't find world diversity in those places. You won't find even cultural, right. And that's one of the things about the – it is still a Midwestern kind of Rust Belt type place. And as a result, it doesn't appeal to people from not just all over the world, but even from places where you're going to find different cultures. You're going to find different viewpoints. It's pretty – it's not as broad in that way. But with that, I'll tell you what I learned. And it is really simple for me. Paul will appreciate this because we talked a lot about this even back when we were in high school. I learned finally after, and I'll say this when I moved to Nashville, I didn't learn it when I was still back in college at Ohio State. I didn't learn it when I lived in Dayton. I learned it when I was in Nashville. And that is, I needed to put my bunny ears up. I need to put my rabbit ears up. I heard too much. I listened too much. I took it way too personal that there were so many people around me that were narrow-minded. And like Paul, literally, he was a couple years ahead of me. Mm-hmm. He was the first person who told me, man, just ignore them. Do you. And I was like, I hear you, but I didn't hear you. what I learned, especially when I got to Nashville, but definitely when I got to Atlanta, was
if you had listened to me, you'd have a St. X diploma instead of a brown and yellow one.
Listen. All I'm saying is,
oh, y'all did. Y'all beat LeBron them, though.
Listen, all I'm saying is that what I learned in those places were you actually are exactly what you thought you were.
Yes.
And you're exactly what you thought you were. Not bigger than anything or better than anything. You're not, I don't do the comparison. Like Andre said, I love that. It's like, yeah, it's amazing how sports and meritocracy work out. But when it comes to a human being, I don't walk around thinking of myself as better than that person. What I do is I have certain expectations. I have certain goals. I have things I want. And I learned that there are people who will support you really quickly. One of the things that used to grind my gears was listening to people. And it's a really simple thing, but I remember when Ken Griffey Jr. came back to the Reds, when he moved back to say, got signed by the Reds, what was that, 99 or 2000, somewhere around there. And what was interesting, obviously he was falling apart as he was getting older. He did not have the same career he did when he was in Seattle. That's a totally different conversation. But the way people used to talk about him, or even when Barry Larkin was towards the end and people, and I'm thinking to myself, these are literally, not figuratively, not being hyperbolic, Barry Larkin, Ken Griffey Jr., hometown they are hero. Literally the pride of Cincinnati. Like, and they love their home.
Ruined it.
But here's the point. Even what I'm saying is the way that people talk about the way that people talked about their own, that's part two of it. What I learned is people are going to say what they're going to say. You being loyal and staying here in Cincinnati because this is home, because this is, I want to be here and I want to make my way here. It's overrated.
Very,
very, very overrated.
Ask LeBron.
At LeBron,
there you go.
Pete Rose. Ask Pete Rose. They traded Nick Pete Cronin. Rose.
Yes, you traded Pete Rose to what was it, the Montreal Expos? Was it like,
or was it the Phillies?
No, he should trade him to the Phillies, and then he went to the Expos, and then he came back. Here's the point. No, actually, it was the other way around. They traded him to Montreal. They did the same thing with Tony Perez. The point is,
but loyalty, Pete Rose went to Western Hills High School.
Pete Rose literally is from – you can't get more
– He's a white boy from the West Side, and they traded him. What you think they're going to do to your black behind?
You literally can't be more Cincinnati than Pete Rose, Barry Larkin, and Ken Griffey Jr. And the way that the media treated them, the way they were criticized by people who were home, what it showed me was you get love where you got to get love. Your family is where your family is. I consider – Atlanta, people talk about what are you going to do when you retire? I said, I'll probably find a way to get back to Atlanta because Atlanta was the one place as an adult that I actually felt like love. People, I still have customers, clients, people who are like, when are you coming back? They actually want me back in Atlanta. I come to Cincinnati.
Like
South
Florida. When you coming back, man, you got to come on back down to the bottom.
And whether anybody believes it or not, the one thing about me is, yes, I've grown, but I haven't changed a bit. I am still the same dude I was back in elementary school, practically. Yet, you got to go where you're going to get love, and don't let loyalty make you miss out on so many opportunities that are available to you. So that's what I learned.
No, I feel that because people are, and this ain't just a sports thing. Like, people are as loyal to you as you can, as long as you can provide them something.
Mm-hmm.
Once you stop providing to that expectation, their loyalty to you stops. Like, and so you mentioned, you know, the Larkins, you mentioned the Griffey. Like, I know them personally because they are Moeller.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. So
I went to church with the Larkins over at St. John's when I was a kid.
So when you talk about the treatment of Ken Griffey Jr., what was sad was he never changed. Like, they tried to act like he was different to the media when he got to the Reds or something like that. Dude been the same since he was real young. Mm-hmm. His personality didn't change. Like, it was just the attacks. He went back into kind of into a shell a little bit because he couldn't believe the fact that Cincinnati was turning on him like that. Like, mm-hmm. And so it's a real weird thing. But again, he wasn't providing. Cincinnati decided he wasn't shit. Bob Huggins stopped providing. Cincinnati decided he wasn't nothing.
Oh, we can't. Okay, we can't cape up for Bob. Bob just got locked up, bro.
He did. But I'm just. But he was a whole.
We gotta fall back off of Bob.
Okay, well, Mick then. I mean, we got enough people. We got enough examples.
We got enough examples.
Yeah, once you start providing, they not loyal to you anymore. Yeah. And so you sitting around for loyalty reasons, really, to Billy's point, doesn't make it. It's not.
How about Marvin?
Absolutely. I'm good with Marvin too. Yeah. Like, Dusty.
Again, and it's not even just the loyalty.
Right.
It's even, but I'll take it a step further. It's even when you are providing said service. Like, it's not even just a matter
You mean like Sam Weish?
Yeah. I'm saying Dusty when Baker. You actually are producing, it's like you're not. The fact of the matter is, it's a weird space that I think we can all identify with where it's not that, like Andre was saying, it's not that Carlos, his brother, should have expected some special preferential treatment, but the fact is, you kind of went, yeah, like y'all went out of your way to make sure to reduce him to something that he actually wasn't. The point is, he deserved better. I'll say it for me. I won't even speak for Carlos or Andre or nobody. I know that, and I'll say this in no uncertain terms, I deserve better than what I got. From maybe it was just my pocket of Cincinnati. Maybe it was just Forest Park. I feel like I deserve better. And when I got out of Cincinnati and I went to Nashville, Columbus, Dayton, when I went, which is right up the street, when I went to Atlanta, I got better. And so I knew better was out there. And so I am never going back to subpar.
Say that.
I'm never going back to not being treated the way that I deserve after I've seen what I deserve. I can't go back now. I've already seen it. You can't put it back in a bottle.
Every other city I've lived in has respected my talents and abilities and compensated me in a far better way than Cincinnati ever was willing to.
Treated me the way that I actually
deserve. There's no way I could live in Cincinnati because I would literally be taking a cut.
And not just a financial cut, but like an actual, like lifestyle cut.
Yep.
And all of it. Like
you don't make as much money and your money don't go as far when you get a piece of it.
And I'm so far removed now. These young whippersnappers think that they run things. And it's like, I have to give them, dog, if you knew back in my day, I'd stretch and I wouldn't even have to stretch back in the day and I'd dust y'all things off.
It was on site.
Right.
It was on site.
Oh, man. And that sound effect that you just heard for our people that are listening on streaming platforms, one, we want to say thank you. But that's our APB sound effect, which means we are on the lookout for something, someone, somebody, all of that. So, for the APB that I have for today, I'm just going to stick with the theme, man. I'm looking for people to take chances. Take chances to succeed. Like, even if you end up on having to come back to Cincinnati, no shame in it, nothing wrong with it, or not even just Cincinnati, your hometown. But go see what the rest of the world has to offer. Go see what life is like on a different coast and just see if that's that thing that you are missing, because there are a lot of us that get stuck in a rut and stuck in comfortability, and we decide that's the life and that's the hand that we were dealt. Sticking from a theme from a couple of shows ago, we just accepting the hand that we have. You have a chance to throw that hand in and go get you a new deck of cards. Like, you can get you a new hand or maximize the hand that you got. See if that hand works out in a different game. Go to a different city. Try to expand there and just see, meet some new people, meet some new experiences, and try to live the best life that you can. You know, if your hometown ends up being where that comfortability is and you fall back to it, cool. At least you know. But the worst thing to be is an older person with regrets on living with the woulda, coulda, shouldas and not knowing what your life could have been and being unhappy because you've decided early on that you didn't want to step outside the box. So I'm just looking for those people who may be listening to this or got a child that's listening to this, and you're trying to keep them at home, you're trying to make sure that they don't leave, let them go.
You know, there you go. Good talk. Good one there, because there's a lot of parents who hold and sabotage their kids' future out of selfishness. Mm-hmm. Let them go. Send that kid to that school that's far away.
You'll be there when they get back. If they need you, just be there for them. That's really it.
And that's it. What Paul just said real quick, Andre, when he said, you know, it's almost like get them insurance. Don't try to live vicariously through your kids and try to navigate and move everything. The best thing that you can do for your child is equip them so that they themselves can get up after they fall, because they're going to fall. But don't cripple them and handicap them, because it's like, no, you need to stay close. You need to, like, no, let them go their own way. And the best thing you can do is be prepared, prepare them, set up what you got to set up so that when they do fall, when they do bump their head, when they do make a mistake, that you're going to help them live their life lesson and get through it. But help them on their way instead of always trying to talk them out of it.
Right.
Because we're
telling them what they can't do and say, you can do anything that you put your mind to. There's so many people, and I don't know, just from my own family, that I've seen parents literally talk their children out of opportunities because they didn't want them to leave. And it's like, wow.
It hits close to home too, man. It hurts. Cause I've been that has been my family at different times, and I love them, but I can tell you this much, and I'm just going to be honest. Part of the reason why I can love them and not have regrets and resentment is because I was able to work through it and get through it. But man, it was not easy, cause I wasn't always supported. Mm-hmm. And you know, had I not been able to get my way through it, there would be some real resentments and some real bitterness there. And you don't need that. Life is hard enough to not have people in your ear shooting down your dreams. And then after your dreams have been shot down and you conceded, they're like, man, you know, you should waste your life too. Yeah.
You know, they're wasted mine. Go ahead, waste yours, dog. We could just, you know, rot together.
Plenty of people tell me now, oh man, you know, you was all right at this. Oh man, you was really good at this. Oh, but. And it's like, yeah. And when I was trying to do that, you was telling me something different. So no, I've definitely received that APB, Andre, because you know, people have to, you know, support the dreamers, as they say, when they're talking about those undocumented people. Hey. Support all the dreamers.
Man. You know,
support
Quit
them.
We're talking people who create things out of creating things. Sheesh. That's right.
You never know what you are disrupting when you turn things down and kind of, lack of a better term, shit on somebody else's dream. Your child could be the next inventor of the next
cure cancer,
man. But because they can't leave your house, and the one thing, and I'll say this as the end, and I know it's gonna sound morbid, but they can't leave. I need to teach him how to, you know, I want to be there for him. There's going to come a day where you're not there for him. Like, it's going to come a day where, in natural order of things, you're going to be gone. And did you let them, did you teach them how to fend for themselves?
That's right.
Or are they going to be lost because they ain't never known a life without you?
Are they scared?
And also, if your child is one of those people, like myself, like Rev, like Dre, who does take off and does explore, and does plant flags in other places and starts legacies in other places, don't be one of those resentful relatives who refuses to visit or participate in their lives.
Preach that.
Because I ain't going to front. I say it right here on camera. My children have some of the most awful grandparents known to man. Mm. And one of them live in my house. They don't visit, they don't participate, none of that stuff. I'm just saying, that's a real one right there. Like, don't be one of those people who resent your children or nieces or nephews or cousins or whatever it may be for chasing their dreams and finding happiness further than 20 minutes away. Mm.
All right. Well, this has been yet another great episode of The Great Matters. We want to thank you for stopping by and taking the time to listen. As always, subscribe. Make sure that you follow us on all of our platforms. If you have questions, comments, show topic that you'd like us to explore, go ahead and get in on the action. Leave us a comment. Send us an email. But don't feel left out. We want to make sure that you feel a part of this. We thank you so much for each and every one of you that views us, that takes the time to listen. And so make sure that you give us whatever feedback you can. And as always, until next time, be safe out there and be blessed.
Peace.
Love you.
So a preacher, a stay-at-home dad, and a rapper walk into a bar.
I am my ancestors back from the grave. No longer a slave, beat to the gods, meal, pray, survive in my day. A threat to society, cause Malcolm showed me the way. I'm young, black, intelligent.
Oh, now they afraid.
It's too late, I am the king, I am the spark to the brain. I am the light that fought the dark and now you see in the rain. I am the thing they spent their whole life killing. To find out, I am the rose that grew from under their building. This ain't for life, this is the fight so you can open your mind. Peel the scab back, reveal the blood and see what we'll find.
Promise.
Like LeBron, I am just one of a kind. No longer will I accept the blind, leading the blind. Keep it a buck, say what I want, not giving a screaming after World I Park until the day my heart stops. And when I do, remember when I take my last breath, just remind the tape and witness all the knowledge I left. The great. So I said, a preacher, a stay-at-home dad, and a rapper walk into a bar. The Great Matters.